Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
We've been asking you, how do you feel about sharing your morning and your evening bus and train commutes with Buddy the Pooch and little lap cats that are going to sit on passengers' knees and at their feet following this decision from the NTA, which is expected to take effect next year. Karen is with me on the line today. Well, Karen, how do you feel about sitting beside someone's cat or dog on the bus?
Hi, Andrea. Nice to speak to you.
You too.
I wouldn't really like that idea now at all. As I've been on with you before, I was saying that, like, I have a disability. I walk with crutches, so just getting on and off buses is quite difficult. And if you add in animals into that equation, it can be just a bit of a nightmare. I was listening to Claire Byrne earlier.
Yeah.
And yeah, when she was explaining about the rules of having the animals on public transport, she was saying, like, you know, they can even be in the aisles once they're kind of controlled by their owners. But, I mean, that's going to really restrict people like myself, or, you know, even a pram, or, you know, toddlers or people with sensory issues. I just feel like it's going to cause an awful lot of unnecessary problems for passengers.
Yeah,
and I think passengers, you know, need to be the priority,
I was looking at this myself, Karen, earlier today, and they seem, it's going to be the case that, so they won't be allowed, we'll say, to sit on seats. You can't put the dog or the cat on the seat beside you. They'll have to remain on the owner's lap, or they can be on the ground in a way that doesn't obstruct other passengers or passageways. Now, I don't know what sort of public transport you get, but I know that I get the 16 Dublin bus nearly twice a day in and out of town, and it is jammed right to capacity.
Jammed.
So I don't know. So where this dog is going to sit at somebody's feet? So there are nearly three people sitting in the seats.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Of course, I mean, and it's not the dog's fault if the dog is allowed to be there, but of course it's going to obstruct the aisle, because the aisle isn't wide enough to accommodate a person passing by, or a pram, or a person with a stick, or even a wheelchair. God, I mean, that'd be even harder. You know, I just think, we're just creating problems that we don't need to have. And earlier on as well, when I was listening to Claire's conversation, there was a gentleman on there called Russell.
Yeah.
And he was saying, like, Russell admitted that, like, his dog was reactive to people, which is kind of a nice way of saying that he would maybe bark or snap at people. Like, that would be very frightening for people. And I just don't think it's fair. You know, I don't think it's fair for people that aren't necessarily comfortable around animals, you know.
And I know you've mentioned, Karen, your own, you know, your mobility issues and that. But would you describe yourself as a dog or a cat? Are you a pet person?
I grew up with cats, and I can be around. I'm not keen on dogs. I can be around them if I'm sitting down, but my problem is if I'm walking around a room, they can kind of get under my feet, literally, because they're down near your ankles and your legs, and they walk into you, and they don't know any better, and that's my fear.
If they
walk past me, I can be knocked down.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very, very, very fair argument to make, no doubt about that, Karen. Like, the thing about this is the NTA didn't just dream this up. They've carried out this whole public consultation, and the 2,567 submissions from people who got in touch, and the vast majority of submissions strongly supported allowing pets to travel on public transport. Yeah. But sure, I didn't take part in this public consultation.
I never saw it advertised anywhere. Had I have seen it advertised,
you'd have had something to say.
I would have put my point across.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to be difficult or awkward.
I know people
love their animals, but, you know, there's a time and a place, and I don't necessarily think that animals, and I don't think the animals would be comfortable on public transport either, you know, for their own sake. Like, if it's a support animal, like a genuine support animal, and of course a guard dog, without question. But just randomly people bringing their pets out for the day, like, I don't understand the logic of it, you know.
Stay with me, Karen, for a moment. 1800 453 106 is the number. Ali is with us on the line. Ali, I believe you're delighted to hear that pets are now welcome on public transport.
I am, but can I just say, this isn't too... I can hear what the discussion that we've just had for the last few minutes, and I can understand the concerns. Mm. I'm from Scotland. I've lived in Ireland 6 years, and Scotland's always been very inclusive in relation to pets on buses. And it's the buses aren't a Noah's Ark. I want to reassure anyone listening who's concerned about this that it's done in a way that is respectful for all bus users. Dogs and cats aren't running amok around buses. So it's done in a way that's really respectful. I think the reason I'm pro it is, let's consider why people have pets, okay? So people have pets for companionship. They bring joy and happiness. They improve our well-being. Science shows us that having a pet it improves our life. It reduces our stress. It can increase our longevity. But there's a pet privilege, and I don't think you should have to own a car, or be able to afford to upkeep a car, or have to want to use a car. You look, with the climate, a lot of people are opting out. So you shouldn't have to have a car in order to have a pet. And so if people need to take their pet to the vet, if people are going to go and visit friends and family, then I think it stands to reason that there are at times going to be pets on public transport. Now, it's not, I hear you're saying about your commuting times, and the bus is full. There's going to be very few pets on the bus at those times. They're not going to be going off into the office. So it's not that we're going to see an influx of pets on buses, but I think it's going to open up the world for people who have just now are prohibited from having pets.
Well, I'll be straight with you, Ali. I am absolutely terrified of dogs. I have a huge fear of them, and I've always had it from when I was a kid, and I don't know why I have it, but I'm terrified of dogs, right? So the prospect now for me of getting on this bus, going into work in the morning or coming home in the afternoon and sitting beside, and like everybody, every dog owner, and 99% of them are brilliant, and their dog is so well behaved. But the dog's well behaved until it meets another dog who isn't well behaved and whose owner doesn't give two, you know, dams about its behaviour on the bus. And that's the part I have the problem with. I don't mind in the train and have a Noah's Ark carriage down at one end and put them all in that. That's grand. But I have no interest in sitting beside someone's dog. And I should say, it's dogs and cats we're talking about. It's also other small animals included in the announcement today. Now, what constitutes another small animal?
Yeah,
what
so again,
are going to be sitting beside?
Rabbits, guinea pigs, who, like I say, are getting taken to the vet or getting taken. But can I reassure you, your fear of dogs is really valid. And I think the thing is, we as pet owners need to be really mindful and really respectful. This isn't a free-for-all. I encourage more responsible pet ownership, dog ownership, because your fear is so valid and it needs to be respected. And I think this can be handled and done in a really sensible, inclusive, respectful way. So I can hear your worry, and there'll be many people who have a similar worry. And I think this can be implemented in a really, really optimum way to be mindful of everyone, you know?
I love your optimism, Ali. You see, I think, I don't know, you know, and maybe in Scotland it's different. And I'm trying to think of, you know, the Nordic countries, and, you know, I can imagine places across Europe where they do this very well. But I don't know if you've ever sat in the bus that I get every day. And like, it's like a zoo at times, you know, some of the characters that are on it and the different things that you see and witness. So I just can't imagine the prospect now of adding a couple of dogs into the mix on this, and their owners as well, who I can only imagine what they'll be like if they were told to keep the dogs in check. Let me bring in Donal for a moment. 1800 453 106 is the number. Donal, you think it's a great idea. Are you a pet owner?
Yes, I own a chocolate Labrador, and he's a nuisance.
He's a nuisance, right?
And I love him. and I want to bring him everywhere with me, and I think it's a great idea.
Do you? Good.
Now, in relation to responsible adults, leave them outside and let the dog come in on his own. Mm. That would be the thing to do.
I mean,
there's lots of things you could ban from public transport, you know, a long time before you take a poor old animal and say you can't come
actually,
on here.
Most of them will be grand. They'll be no bother. You know, they'll sit in the owner's
1,000%
lap and it's sound. They'll
999 out of 1,000. And the reason that the dog wouldn't be, or the cat wouldn't be in good form on the bus is the owner. No one else. The owner is the problem, not the dog. Or not the cat or not the animal. It's the owner.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's anywhere. It doesn't make any difference anywhere. I mean, there's lots of cafes and restaurants around the place that say, no, you can't bring your animal in here. Yet you go in and sit down and try to have a conversation and you have some unadulterated person on a mobile phone beside you as if they're talking to someone in Australia and could hear them without the phone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have all these things, you know. But no, dog is no problem. He'd sit down and he'd take whatever you give him at the side of the table, you know. All the stuff you're not supposed to give him, by the way.
But do you think more people will? Do you think people will start to bring their pets on public? They will, yeah.
Of course they will. And, you know, there's, you bring them in on the bus because you're going somewhere. What will restrict that is the place you're going saying, oh, no, no dogs allowed here or no animals allowed in here. So it will be limiting in itself. But it's nice to think that I can, if I want to go on a bus journey from, say, here, which is Athlone, down to Galway, I could go on the train or I can go on the bus and walk along the promenade, not have to worry about, you know, I have to bring the car or worrying about him being at home on his own, you know.
Listener here's got in touch 087 1400 106 to tell me, I think this is utterly bonkers. Dog owners don't pick up the poo from the street or the beach as it is. How are the NTA going to enforce a clean up and a safe environment for people on public transport? Another listener tells me, my dad is incredibly allergic to cats and dog hair. As soon as he's in the room with a dog, his eyes start streaming and he starts wheezing. I think this decision is incredibly unfair on people whose health is going to be in close proximity to animals. Another listener has got in touch to ask us this afternoon, to tell us that they're thrilled to hear about this. Delighted to hear pets are going to be allowed on public transport. They are family pets. They're often better behaved than the children as well. And I love being in other European countries and the dogs are just there strolling around Zara shops. Brian is wondering what's going to happen if a cat and a dog meet each other on the bus. There'd be chaos, I suspect. And this texter's got in touch to tell me, I'm a bus driver myself and I can't imagine a cat on a bus because I'm hugely allergic to cats and I need to stay away from them. If I were to come into contact, I'm going to sneeze, heavy teary eyes, itchy eyes for around 2 hours, even if I'm taking antihistamines. And I believe the air circulating around the bus is going to be difficult as well to clear. So I cannot imagine working in this environment. It's funny, Ali. I have less of an issue about the pets on the train or the Lewis than I do on the bus. It's the close quarters. It's the fact you can't escape.
Yeah, can I just say, I got the bus daily, twice a day for 15 years. And I could probably count, in all that time, hundreds upon hundreds of journeys, if not thousands. And I might have been on the bus with a dog, never a cat, even though they were allowed. Oh, I don't know, 50 to 100 times.
Mm.
I think we're talking and fearing as if this is suddenly going to be, like you say, a Noah's Ark. It really isn't. And I guarantee the cats would be in a box. They won't be a loose cat on a lead or what have you. So I can understand everyone's concerns and they're all very valid. We all have our own restrictions, limitations, likes, dislikes. It's all valid. But I do think there's a lot of scaremongering or fear that this is suddenly going to become, again, I'll say it for a third time, a Noah's Ark. Mm. It really isn't.
Well, there's nothing. They don't have to be in a suitable box or a basket or a container or anything like that, because the NTA actually withdrew a proposal that the pets were going to have to be carried, you know, in some kind of container.
Yeah,
so I presume that means
cats, I'm speaking.
Yeah,
for cats specifically, I think most cat owners would know, they'd laugh at us. Like for a cat getting transported to a vet, getting transported anywhere, that, you know, like herding cats, they're going, I guarantee they'll be in a box if they're getting taken somewhere, because for their own for limiting their own stress, for keeping them contained. Again, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I've never, ever, ever in all my time.
Well, maybe some of our cat owner listeners might want to get in touch with us this afternoon if you fancy the prospect of bringing your cat on the bus or the train or the Lewis. 087 1400 106. Judy is on the line. Judy, how do you feel about this decision from the NTA?
To talk to you, I love your show. Look, I think I have cats myself, and I have five cats, and they're strictly indoor cats. I don't let them out at all, right? Apart from I have a pram.
have a pram for them, have you?
I have a pram, yeah, I have. It's fabulous. There's a coffee holder, the whole lot. But no, out of the five, the only one that I go into with is Archie. Right, he's super friendly, super everything. But the second anybody comes to the house and visits, he's gone, he's hiding, he's petrified of people. But he's the most affectionate, he's like a Velcro cat, he's stuck to you like absolute Velcro. So I would imagine it's be so traumatising for the animal, even for a dog. Now, you cannot in a million years bring a cat onto a bus or anywhere in your arms, because the cat would literally take the hand off you, take the face off you with their nails to try and get away. That's the type of animal they are. I've grown up with them. I studied them. I know all about them. Mm. Even bringing them to the vet, like that previous lady said, it's traumatising. They know exactly where they're going. Trying to get them into the carrier in the first place is a nightmare because they know where they're going. I wouldn't subject any of my animals to anything like that, even dogs. I'm not like you now. I'd kind of be a bit nervous with dogs. Small dogs, kind of no problem. But bigger dogs, I would have an issue with. I would be very nervous. And a couple of my neighbours around here have bigger dogs, and they're kind of fine with their owners. But the very minute they come into contact with other people, when they wouldn't be used to it, it can be very traumatising for the animal. And I don't understand why people would subject their animal to that, to be quite honest with you. I mean, they can't tell us how they're feeling. Mm. And even like I'm minding a neighbour's cat now, in a couple of weeks' time, they have a wedding. And the cat is almost 22 years old. So I offered to look after the cat in their house, because if the cat goes to the cattery, they're traumatised for at least 6 weeks when they come home. And bringing them onto public transport, I mean, what if a child comes over and you lose contact for 2 seconds and goes to rub the dog and takes the hand off the child?
I think it's all great in theory. I think that this is a lovely idea. But it's the practicality. I feel it's a decision that's been made by people who don't actually use the public transport services that we have.
Probably.
Like,
probably
this is the part I have the issue with. Like, put on an extra carriage in the Lewis, or you know, have some sort of segregated area in the train and put all the pets in. I've no bother with that. I just don't want to sit beside
them. I'm the same. I wouldn't be happy with that. Like, a lady sat in beside me there now not too long ago, and she had her dog. Now, the dog was in a little kind of carrier thing, but the dog was spluttering and coughing and sneezing and the whole lot. She was actually bringing the dog to the vet, and I brought it to the attention of the driver, and I felt awful because I'm an animal lover, a complete animal lover. I mean, I'm known as the Cat Lady of Limerick. Everybody knows me, as even people, and you know, people that I don't even know. Cat Lady, you know, that's I'm known as. It's like for,
I love this idea of you going round with this pram and the cats.
Oh,
you say, I probably wouldn't mind you on the bus, because you'll have the cat presumably in the pram.
Oh, it's completely zipped over in the whole lot.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the coolest
right.
thing ever. I mean, it's absolutely high tech. It's absolutely fabulous.
You'll have to send us a picture to this.
I'll send you a picture. I will. I have a lovely picture of Archie in it, actually. But even someone said to my brother there not too long ago, I never knew the cat lady was your sister, you know, and that's the way it is with me.
Yeah.
But look, all I'm saying is I just think I only bring Archie around the estate, we'll say. I have a very quiet estate here. I wouldn't traumatise him with traffic or anything busy like that, because it's not fair in the animal. They're not used to it. And why would you subject them to that just for your own gratification? That's my feeling on it anyway, you know. I think, and I'm a complete animal lover, there's nothing I wouldn't do for my cats. And the only reason why I got the pram is to have them have a little bit of fresh air, because I keep them indoors all the time. I'm not going to spend a fortune on vaccinations, neutering, you know, the best of everything for them, everything. They have everything here in the house. Scratchers, climbing, literally everything.
Yeah.
And leave them out in the street just to get knocked down, you know what I mean? And I just, that's not me. Some people agree, some people don't.
So you still wouldn't, you won't bring them on public transport now,
no,
even?
I wouldn't,
okay.
Andrea. I mean,
fair enough,
to be honest with you, it's traumatising enough when I bring my cats, if I need to bring my cats too, but I don't need to do it too often because they're inside. But if I have to bring them to the vet, I don't drive, so I have to get a neighbour to put them
down
into the cat box, into the car, to the vet. Even that journey in the car is so
enough for them without bringing them on the bus or the train or some sort of public transport service as well. Let me bring Orla in for a moment there, Judy. Do you agree with this decision from the NTA, Orla?
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
I'm not bad.
Like you, in theory, I do agree with it, but I think it needs to be specifically for animals. There needs to be a bus for animals, and it's called the animal bus. So in the same way that we all have our lines, and it's, you know, I'm on the L1, L2 in Wicklow here, and but then the animal bus comes at 11 o'clock or whatever time that's, you know, outside the rush hour and so on, because as you say...
Like a special bus for the animals.
A special bus with you know, it's run... It's run by Dublin Bus or whatever, or NTA, rather. And And somebody who's not madly allergic to animal hair and so on, they go through the same training driving a bus, but they're also animal lovers and they do some extra training. But like, why not? Because then everybody knows exactly what they're getting into. Literally, metaphorically, yeah. Also.
Like, I'm just trying to think of it, all the stories we hear about public transport in this country and, you know, like, people giving out there aren't enough services. If they were to come out and tell us today they were putting on a special bus for dogs and cats, I think people would go nuts, Orla, if they were to listen to that.
Listen, the buses don't turn up at the best of times, right? And Greystones out here is one of them, okay? But look, you know, it's not going to be worse than it is. So, you know, if there's one bus going out and, you know, a park and ride animal bus.
I take the point. Maybe you mean, like, you know? Maybe you might have, you know, specific times or something that pet owners could use.
Absolutely. You know, and maybe like a little sort of park and ride that parks, let's say, next to a bushy park or somewhere. I don't know if animals are allowed in there, are they? I think they are. But, you know, a little sort of park and ride so people can get the animal bus up there to the park and ride. They can walk around and they know that, it's not a shuttle, it'll be a proper service. We'll come back at a certain time. But absolutely. But, of course, it's not going to work.
It's happening. Like these changes are that were they had the consultation. They carried out the public consultation process earlier this year, and it is going to happen. This change is going to be brought in. A lot of people are wondering today. When was this public consultation carried out? They didn't know anything about it.
I certainly hadn't heard anything about it. I wouldn't mind bringing my dog. Like, I love dogs. I hate cats. Sorry, I shouldn't really say that. Sorry, that.
Well, I'm more concerned about these other animals. The other small—it's dogs, it's cats, and it's other small animals.
Yeah, I mean, is a tarantula like a pet tarantula?
Don't even start now, Orla.
That's true. You know, I mean, where
imagine the row with the bus driver now when someone's starting to tell them that they read the rules and they're allowed to bring on this small animal and all. And listener here making the point too. Listener here making the point too. I don't know if you can hear us, Orla. To listener here text in to say, on a rainy day and a wet dog walks onto the bus and gives a big shake off of his wet coat all over the morning passengers. I mean, can you imagine the rows that are going to erupt? I only recently told you the story about travelling into work on a bus one morning with a woman sitting one row across from me cutting her nail with nail clippers. So you can imagine the crack now that's going to start in the morning commute when people are at this kind of behaviour with their pets and their cats and their dogs. I dread to think of this happening, but it is going to happen despite what I think. Listeners got in touch as well to say, on the public transport, I've never noticed this public consultation and I'm absolutely 100% against pets on buses and trains, and I've made a personal choice not to own a dog or a cat or any other pet, and I do not want them on public transport when I'm travelling. Keep your thoughts coming into us. Email us lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.